NPR.
The holiday season is an important time of year for many people. But it is a really important time of year for the economy.
Especially for retailers.
Yes.
Right? A lot of retailers make more than half their annual sales this time of year. Holiday sales often set the economic tone for the following year as well. They're just a big deal. So you would think that economists would love the holiday season.
Yeah, but they're a bunch of Scrooges.
Yeah, maybe not. Economists have really weird ideas about gifts.
Yes, they have weird ideas about gifts because here's the thing about gifts, right? They're not necessarily efficient. You know, for instance, you spend a lot of money on a sweater for your aunt. Your aunt, you know, unwraps the sweater. It's like, oh, wow, reindeer sweater, what I've always wanted. And, you know, never wears it. So you could say, economists would say that money was basically wasted. And for economists, like, this situation is unbearable. And so they are always recommending these weird alternatives, like, you know, giving people cash or just not giving people gifts at all. This is The Indicator from Planet Money. I'm Stacey Vanek Smith.
And I'm Cardiff Garcia. Today on the show, economists and gifts. It's complicated.
It's depressing.
Can be, yeah.
It can be.
We ask economist Tim Harford, who's a columnist at the FT and creator of the new podcast series Cautionary Tales, to answer for his economist colleagues and to try and sell us on his version of the economically efficient gift.
Hold on to your hats. Actually, hold on to your socks.
Yeah, hold on to your
socks.
Hold on to your
socks.
They're going to be on the sleigh, yeah.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Google. From Connecticut to California, from Mississippi to Minnesota, millions of American businesses are using Google tools to grow online. Learn more at google.com/grow.
This message comes from NPR sponsor State Farm. Why do you need State Farm renter's insurance? Because it helps protect the stuff landlords don't, like your furniture that gets drenched by a broken pipe. State Farm Renters Insurance. Find an agent or get a quote at statefarm.com.
Economists are terrible about gifts.
Oh, no,
it's so depressing.
No. We are brilliant at gifts.
No. It's a particular angle that you guys take on gift giving because it's all about efficiency. Like, economics is about efficiency, and gifts are not particularly efficient. That is not necessarily their goal.
When you buy a Christmas gift, this is a big expenditure of resources. People worked hard to create this thing. And yet, some gifts, not all gifts, are not actually valued by the people who receive them. What they value is the gesture, the connection, and the larger the gift, the more resources have been put into it, the bigger the potential waste. And so if instead I were to maybe give you a really small gift that showed some real personal thought, that I'd really thought a lot about what you wanted and maybe written you a handwritten letter, rather than just saying, oh, I'm going to go to Macy's, I'm just going to buy something big in a big golden box and I don't care about Stacey, I just care about the gesture. Isn't the handwritten letter, isn't that better? You're telling me that I'm getting it wrong, that I'm misunderstanding.
What's in the gold box?
Christmas is just junk.
I hear you. I hear you, and you're right.
So
I would rather get a small, thoughtful gift than a giant, mindless gift.
Sure.
For sure.
Still, you want a gift. Okay, I hear you. You don't want a letter. You want a gift. So, okay, plan B is what I need to do is I need to find out what you actually want.
Is this the efficient present hypothesis?
Yeah.
Okay.
The efficient present, this is mine. The efficient present hypothesis. So
okay.
The efficient present hypothesis is, if I get something I think you really want, you've already got it. Yeah? And you think I'm joking, but this happens a lot. I've had this experience with my wife, for example. I know she really likes this particular brand of woolen socks that keep her feet warm in the winter. And so last Christmas, I thought, smart guy.
Wait, you got your wife socks?
No, not just socks, but like one of the things she really likes is socks. So I got these like these.
Are you sure that's true?
I am sure it's true.
I feel like socks and gift cards are the junk bonds of gifts.
Okay, so here's the reason I'm sure it's true. She bought the same pair of socks herself and gave it to me to like, oh, please give me this gift for Christmas. And I'm like, I already bought those socks for you. Like,
she bought herself a Christmas present and gave it to you to give to her?
Yeah, because she didn't trust me to do it right. And in fact, I was so good that I was bad because we bought the same thing. So The solution to all of this is ask or look at a wish list. Now, I know what you're thinking at this point. Wow, that's so kind of mechanical. That's so unromantic. That's like you're not even
it's
thinking.
It's like you don't get a surprise. No surprise. It's just like you registered for a Christmas gift. I don't know.
Did I?
You have an official wish list that you give to all your friends?
No, just like my family. I don't send... My family, no, I don't send people like, please buy me this stuff. And I ask them for their wish list. And if they don't have stuff on the wish list, I ask them to put stuff on their wish list. And here's why. Because I have read the academic research gathered by Francesca Gino and Francis Flynn. The people receiving the gifts loved getting gifts off their wish list. It's like, great. That was so thoughtful of you. You went to the trouble to find out what I actually wanted, and you got it for me. And I really like that. And there was no sense of, oh, you didn't try, or you didn't surprise me. So people think that wish lists are like a sort of cop-out. They're not really playing the game, but they work really well.
But like when we think about gifts, and we think about the economy, and we think about like the parallels between the two, like the economy obviously grows as it becomes more efficient, or it has the potential to grow as it becomes more efficient, right?
Yeah.
Relationships grow or become more meaningful very often when they are inefficient, right? So think about like the parents spending like a lot of time with their kids or something like that. You could be doing other things. Sometimes you're just lazying about, but it's meaningful in the context of the relationship. So when it comes to giving gifts, anticipating what somebody wants isn't always as straightforward as like what they themselves have expressed that they want. Right? Sometimes, like, the weirdo gift that they absolutely have no use for, okay, is the thing that deepens the relationship. And so even if in the moment the person's like, okay, this gift, right, is what I want, I'm, like, really excited about it, it might not be as memorable, say, as the incredibly weird thing that you came up with that
just
is useless.
It's more useful. Right. Is this, like, a cash thing? Like, giving cash?
Well, so... cash is another benchmark. I think to teenage kids,
would you
kids,
want to give fine. Cash? Like, as an economist, do you feel like you wish you could give people cash?
The trouble is there's a big stigma to giving cash. Like, even we economists know, if you just sort of hand your spouse $100 on Christmas, it's like, I love you, babe. It's like, I know that, you know, I mean, it's fine.
It's like the gift from the airport.
I think the wish list solution really works for me. You are giving something. It symbolizes a relationship. It symbolizes a certain amount of thought, which is not, hey, I went off piste and I thought of some crazy Cardiff Garcia kind of gift. It was like, I thought enough to figure out exactly what you wanted. And I asked you what you wanted and I gave you what you wanted. And people really, the research shows people really appreciate it.
My other point is just that Stacey referred to socks as the junk bonds of gifts. But actually, I was just thinking junk bonds would be a great gift to give somebody.
Why is that a great
gift? High risk, high reward. It's very like interesting. It's weird. It's flashy.
You're going to give someone junk bonds
for Christmas? There's an element of uncertainty. No, I want junk bonds for Christmas.
You want junk bonds for Christmas?
I'm sending out the...
That's okay. So that now we... Cardiff has let it be known... You are now, Stacey, you are now allowed to buy Cardiff junk bonds for Christmas. And he would really appreciate it if you did. That's what the research shows.
Junk bonds. That's
right. All right. Yeah. Oh, well, there is one, like, irony, I think, potentially to, like, a lot of economists' recommendations for gift buying, which is that our economy, like, a lot, it's not only is it actually, like, a practical thing that... Christmas retail is like a huge part of a lot of retailers' income. And if they don't get that, it can become really bad. But also as an indicator, like people sort of freak out if holiday sales aren't what they're expected to be. So if people followed economists' advice about gifts, it would be terrible for the economy.
Yeah, but it'd be good for human beings. So that's the economy.
What kind of an economist are you?
I know.
The economy exists to serve us. As I said, it's not as big as people often say, but if a big chunk of the economy is devoted to people running around in cramped conditions, under a lot of stress, working really hard to buy each other stuff that they don't actually want, like we're better off without that part of the economy.
That's a very bleak description of Christmas.
I love Christmas.
Do you?
I love Christmas. I'm big into Christmas, and I like buying people gifts.
I mean, it must
gifts,
be beautiful
but
in
I like
Oxford.
Buying people gifts that they want to receive rather than rubbish.
So junk bonds for Cardiff.
Got it.
Today's episode of The Indicator was produced by Jared Marcel, fact-checked by Nadia Lewis.
Our editor is Patty Hirsch, and The Indicator is a production of NPR.